Happy holidays from all of us here at 830 WCCO, and from Linda's Construction as well. Good morning, Andy Linda's.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm keeping warm. I'm not moving. I'm staying right here. Maybe moving to Hawaii, but not quite yet. Now, this is look at it, hearing Al's forecast. We're going to get through 2 days of this, and then it's already started moderating. And I'm sure that's really good news for all the Linda's crews that, you know, maybe some of those folks that have been out there working today. Wow, what a difference this coming week. So that's good news for the workers.
Yes, but, you know, when 40 degrees sounds nice, it just tells you how cold it actually is.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, it's all relative. I was going to ask you about something. I completely spaced it, but I'm looking at some text. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. If you want to call and chat with Andy, that's great. If it's easier to just send a text, that's fine, too. One number for either, 651-461-9226. And it was looking at a text. Well, it was an online question, kind of. It was in the area, so it's around CCO land. This person has a heated garage, and they're seeing, they don't have leaf guard gutters on there, but they have some other kind of gutter. But they have ice dams on this heated garage, and people were writing in with these suggestions. Oh, you got to do this and you got to do that. And without actually seeing it, you actually seeing it, and this is a garage again. It's not a living space. What could be the issue there? Why are there ice dams on this heated garage? Could there be?
Well, if a lot of times garages aren't insulated as well as the rest of the house. So if the heater that was added to the garage was an afterthought and it's not an actual conditioned space, chances are there's not enough insulation in that attic space to keep the heat in the garage. So it's going up through the roof, melting the snow, getting down to the overhang, and starting to freeze probably before it even gets to the gutters. And if you have an open, ordinary gutter, that ice is going to form inside of the gutter and go back up onto the roof. Most of the leak protection ones, that ice is going to form, and you're going to get icicles coming down. So given a choice of having ice go up onto the roof or ice coming down, I would choose to have icicles coming down. It's just a little bit easier to deal with. But both cases, there's probably some insulation that needs to look at. And there's not, we run into this all the time. Bulk garages. We just had a customer. I want to say they were from Texas, so they never really had dealt with heat in their garage before, and we had actually gone out there, and this was actually, you know, need this for a couple from the south, pretty smart. They wanted us to inspect the insulation before they turned the heater on, and they're like, I just think that my garage is so cold but it turns out it was, the insulation was fine. They just hadn't figured out how to turn the heater on yet. And oh, if you don't have a heated garage, this is one of the nicest things in the world to have, I believe. You know, I took the old pig barn at my house in 2019, tore it down, and built. But I, you know, my favorite room in my house is now my shed, and did a lot of it myself. Sourced a lot of the materials here, but the best thing I did was in-floor heat. So when you have like the amount of snow that we've had, every vehicle is just crusted on the bottom and snow on top, and to be able to pull them in and let them melt off naturally, it's just it's a nice feature. So if you don't have a heated garage, it's one of the best things I think you can do to your house, especially in times like this. You know, getting your vehicle, you don't have to worry about warming it up for a half hour. It's a nice feature. But if you're adding heat to your garage, insulation should be part of the conversation, at least inspected. And a lot of times there's no vapor barrier up above the garage area. So and as far as insulation projects go, it's one of the least expensive insulation projects that you can do is that of the garage. It's usually a pretty cost effective thing, and your ROI is there. But not alone, Danny, this week, I want to say we have set like close to 200 visits with people where insulation is what they've called us about. Ice dams, snow removal. We brought back the snow removal team at Lindus this year, so we'll be doing a little bit of that. You know, the last couple of years, we haven't had to deal with this type of thing. So
yeah,
it's no shocker to me that we set records the last couple of weeks in the amount of insulation estimates that have come through our doors. But given that the last couple of years have been pretty mild winters, we're, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But now, heck, the amount of people calling us with leaks in their house is pretty alarming. So if you do have a lot of snow on your roof and you're seeing some ice dams, getting that snow removed it could be something that saves you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars down the road.
And winter hasn't even officially started for another 8 or 9 days. So we've got a ways to go. Tell you what, let's do. Before we take a break, let's grab a phone call. Monica has been online there, calling in from Bloomington. I believe she's still there. Monica, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning.
Morning.
When Lindus comes out and replaces gutters, takes one off and put one on, how do they do that when you do have ice dams? How does Lindus handle that?
Chances are we're going to have to remove the ice dam. We have a few different tools, including a steamer, that we can use to do that in a safe manner. Sometimes, though, if it's not causing any damage, what we can do is remove the snow and wait for that ice dam to melt away. Sometimes we put them off till spring, but we take it from a case-by-case situation. And obviously getting a steamer and snow removal involved is going to add a little bit of cost to the project. So we like to be upfront with the customers and let them know what it's going to take to do the project now, or we can wait till spring and do it then. But it is I like where your head's at, because it's all the things I've done in my life. Some of the most dangerous work I've done has been in the wintertime. And something we talk to our people all the time. If you're not comfortable getting on a ladder, and now imagine, Denny, you're removing a gutter, you know, it's 20 feet long.
Yeah.
And now that gutter weighs a couple hundred pounds. And so you remove a fastener, and all of a sudden all the fasteners go. And it is something you have to talk about and be prepared for. And we like to remove as much of that snow and ice as we possibly can. Now, the good news is once we get it, you know, that snow and ice removed from your roof, inside the gutters, we don't have to be as careful, you know, but on your roof, if you're not careful, you can wreck shingles, you can wreck roofing, you can wreck fascia. And if you have a lot of weight, we're going to start getting phone calls and going on estimates. We're going to find out, like, hey, my gutter is on the ground. I don't know if it was it Bruce, I think, back in the day, Bruce Hogovic?
Sure.
He had that gutter pull off his house with the fascia board and actually go down. It might have even wrecked his AC unit below it.
Ooh.
And that's something that we will go on. It'll be more than 10 times we see that this year. It's just, imagine all of that weight and you've had a gutter that's been leaking. So chances are there's some rotten fascia or rafter tails or soffit, and now it just starts to pull loose. Next thing you know, your entire soffit system sitting in your yard. And it's something, if you're noticing it, the faster you can deal with it, the better off you're going to be. And I know it's not fun money to spend. You know, no one wants to spend $1,500 having a crew come out and steam off the roof and remove the snow. But if that $1,500 is saving you $10,000 down the road in rotten wood or soffit and fascia repair or gutter repair, then I think it's $1,500 well spent. And if you take a look at what causes that ice dam, and if you can address that, now, you know, you're never going to have to deal with it again. And that's where insulation and ventilation and attic air sealing come into play.
Well, I tell you, I know we have to break here, but I remember, I was just thinking about this yesterday in light of this cold weather. Years ago, before Lindus came to foam and blow in insulation and correct all those errors up there in our attic, we had ice dams. All these years after Lindus did that, we have never had one ice dam on any part of the house. And I think it's an answer to the great insulation and what you've taught us, ventilation as well. It works. Hang on, Andy. Taking a quick break. You'll be right back. We have text. And if you want to call in your home improvement question, that'd be great too. 651-461-9226. Back with more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of a home improvement show. Andy Lindus from Lindus Construction answering those very questions either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. We have a bunch of those, Andy. Here's one. wondering, Texas says, if you've seen anything like this before and have any suggestions. When any snow melts, Texter says, like when the temperature is just below freezing and the sun is out, any runoff freezes on the top of my leaf guard gutters and builds up, causing a narrow ice dam and many icicles on my home in Roseville. So what do you think the remedy of that one is, Andy?
Well, like we were talking about before, where leaf guard, it's shaped to discourage anything but liquid water. So if the water's freezing, you're going to get icicles coming down, where if that was an open gutter, it would be freezing into the gutter and building back up onto the roof, leading to a big ice dam. Now, there are some things that we can do with heat tape, but again, that's something you're going to have to plug in, where we can run it on the top edge of the leaf guard behind the flashing. I have it on my house. We've talked about this before, where like I have a part of my house where this is the entryway to the home, the old four-square farmhouse. There's literally like 10 to 14 inches, depending on where the part of the roof is, that's the space allowed for insulation. And when I roofed this house 15 years ago, I wasn't smart enough to pull the decking off and spray foam that entire area. If I'd have done that, I wouldn't have to worry about it. But as soon as we turn the heater on in the entryway, it's going to melt the snow, and the snow is going to end up icicles coming down. So then I plug my heat tape in, and I never have to worry about it again. But given a choice of having icicles or ice on my roof, I would choose icicles all day long. Which leads me to one thing I wanted to bring up, Danny, was hatchets, axe, axes, chisels, the back end of a hammer. None of those tools should be used to remove ice dams. I will go on calls this year, multiple calls, where people have leaking in their house, and we get up there in like valley areas, and they went so bonkers with an axe, they actually puncture the valley tin and let water in. And I get it can be pretty frustrating up there, but a lot of times just removing the snow over the top of the ice dam, what people don't understand is what is happening, why it's leaking there is, I've been on roofs where we get through the snow and we get to the ice and there's 5 inches of standing water on your roof. Now, what people have to understand is my dad's favorite saying is a roof is not a boat. It's not designed to hold out water. It's designed to shed water. So if there's standing water anywhere on your roof, the chances are it's going to leak. So just removing the snow and using a snow rake can put you way ahead of the curve and make even a small problem not be able to come into a big problem. So if you remove that snow and let that ice freeze so there's not standing water on your roof, or if you're going to do anything, you know, you can, and what we do with our steamers a lot of times is we cut a channel into those ice dams to allow the water to be able to drain out somewhere. And that's what some of those heat tapes do. If you go up a valley with them, all they're doing is putting a channel into the ice, allowing the water to escape off the roof. And getting rid of the standing water is step one. Step two is figuring out why you're getting standing water up there. Now, the normal freeze-thaw cycle, those icicles, not a big deal. The icicles that really cause problems are the ones that are having heat escape. So freeze-thaw cycle stuff, those are usually short-lived. You know, usually once it's melted off enough, you're not going to have to deal with it, or you knock the icicles off one time, you're not going to have to deal with it. But if it truly is a problem, call us and we'll come out and talk about heat tape solutions. And we have a couple of different companies that we work with on the heat tape solutions as well, and we can go from there.
Very good. I'm looking at, especially in some areas of Minnesota and Wisconsin, for that matter, having more. I'm looking at a deck that maybe has half a foot of snow. But the other question is, and we get this all the time, if we get a lot of snow and it's on the roof, is there a weight problem there? Is there something going to be caving in? What do we have when we build homes here in Minnesota, upper Midwest? Is it pretty safe as far as heavy snow on there? Is it?
It is. It is very safe. Where I've seen problems in the past is in outbuildings, stuff that wasn't necessarily done to code for for snow loads, but our residential building codes for snow loads, we need a lot more snow than what we've received so far this year to really start to worry about the snow loads. It's not something that we really worry about. It where I've seen it cause problems are do-it-yourself additions, sistered-in trusses, stuff like that, where we get in the attics and we notice that there's some things that have gone bad because of the weight on the roof. But I'm telling you, it's pretty rare. The snow load and the weight on the roof isn't something I would worry a ton about. I'm more worried about ice dams and water on the roof than weight.
I know every winter it seems like driving around various neighborhoods, if I'm looking up at people's roof, and there's snow, we've had quite a bit of snow. For those homes, that snow stays on there for days, if not weeks, with the proper insulation. That's a good thing, according to you, right? Mm-hmm. We want to keep that attic temperature about the same as the outside temperature. And the opposite is true. If you see a house maybe, you know, next to another one, one has snow on it, one does not, that probably needs some insulation.
Yes, usually the case. If you can see where all the trusses are on your roof, because it's melting there because of the snow, then chances are you need some insulation or ventilation in your attic. And it's a good clue. If you have no snow on your roof and all your neighbors have snow on your roof, your house has some problems. And the good news is those estimates are free. And when we get into an attic, you're going to know whether or not you have a vapor barrier, all of your trouble spots, any attic air sealing that we can do, the exact R value and type of insulation that you have, and it goes from there. But if you do have a cell, let's try to make sure that the attic access is available. And it's always a little bit shocking to me how many people don't know where their attic access is. Good news is we're pretty versed in it. So if there's a way to get in the attic, we'll find it. But, that if you haven't ever looked in your attic, a free heat map analysis by us, I think we'll put you way ahead of the curve, at least let you know what is going on up there and what your existing R value is and what it's going to take to get you up to code.
Oh, yeah, it's a great test, and you get such great information out of it. I'm going to give the phone number for Lindis for whatever project. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need some insulation. 844-9-LINDIS, L-I-N-D-U-S, 844-9-LINDIS. Call them this coming week for whatever you have in mind. Andy, let's do this. Let's take a break, have a look at that little bit of a warming forecast, actually in pretty good here in a couple of days. We'll look at the weather, then we'll come right back with more home improvement questions, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226 from News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. Good morning and welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show. Andy Lindis, as usual, answering those questions this Saturday morning, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. Looking at another text that came in a bit ago, Andy, and it's kind of related to the roof question. And we're getting a lot of roof rake questions, too, we'll get to. But the question here, is it wise to shovel snow off the deck?
Yes, I think it is. If you're not going to be using the deck at all, you don't have to. I don't think it helps with could it save on the life of the deck or if there's a lot of ice and freezing on there? I just know that it's way easier to remove right after the snow happens than not. I'm in a little different category than a lot of people. My deck is the entryway into my home, so it has to get shoveled. And that's why hopefully my heat mats show up in the next couple of days. We were talking last week, I ordered those packages, but I'm gonna test them out on my walkway and the stairs, put them on there and plug it in, and maybe I'll never have to shovel again, Denny.
How about that? Well, we're anxious to hear a report. Now, what size? I assume they're various sizes, or they just come in one size?
You know, there's a whole bunch of different types of mats and sizes. There's one specifically made for stairs that I ordered, I think mine are all 3 feet wide. And they can be sistered and tied in together, so there's one power source to it. But I'll let you.
I
only spent maybe an hour of researching this and a couple of different companies out there that make them, so I don't have a ton of info on them. I'll know more once I test them out, and I'll let you know if the $500 spend was worth it.
All right, we'll do that. Anxious to hear the results of that. Another text, and you've been involved with addicts that have this problem. A texter says, we have heard scratching in our attic. My husband has found mice and sees some light in what appears to be a hole. What can you suggest we do, especially in this cold weather?
You know, most of the pest people are going to use some type of poison. Just be careful if you have pets and, you know, get like a poison station so you can put that up into the attic. Nice part about the poison, it's going to, you know, they're going to search water out once they ingest the poison, so they'll get out of your attic there. The other thing that I do every year in the fall, and I know it seems like we went from fall to blizzard, polar vortex in short order, but every November I go up into my attic space with peppermint oil, essential oil on rags. You know, I always, again, the first year I didn't wear rubber gloves and I ended up smelling like peppermint for about a week and a half. So put rubber gloves on. I just use a little bit of that essential oil on a rag and I throw it in all four corners of my attic. Anything that's going to be stored for the winter also gets that peppermint oil. You can, I know Bonide makes something called Mouse Magic. I call it little peppermint pillows. It's like a potpourri peppermint. The rodents really don't like it. And ever since I started doing that regularly, I don't have, you know, I live out in the country in an old four square farmhouse, and I've had rodent problems, you know, before, red squirrel problems before. Now that I'm pretty diligent about that peppermint oil, never have any issues anymore.
Now, you have been in a lot of attics, especially when folks have called Lindis about critters. What kind of damage mm-hmm. can these mice or squirrels do that you've seen?
Lots of damage. One, I've gone up into attics and seen all of the insulation wrecked from rodents. Tunnel systems throughout the entire insulation part because of rodents. I've seen families of raccoons in attics, hundreds of bats in attics. There was one attic, Denny, there was at least 2 inches of bat droppings on top of the insulation.
No, thank you.
What people have to understand is if it's any type of balloon framing at all where the top plate is not sealed, chances are that air from your attic, as it gets cold like it is today, and the temperatures are dropping, and if you don't have proper attic air sealing, what's happening is the warm air is going up into your attic. That's going to force the cold air go through those rodent or bat droppings down your walls, and if you're feeling drafts coming out of your walls, almost always it's coming from your attic area. It's either the from the basement or the attic area. It's never, you know, wind blowing through the wall from the outside. Air is traveling down those walls, and that's where you feel it coming out of your doors, out of your windows, out of your sockets or light switches. You know, any type of opening in the sheetrock or the wall, that's where the air is coming out. And that air is coming from the attic through those bat droppings. So when you understand that the insulation sometimes acts as the filter to the air in which we breathe, you make sure that and take a bunch of steps early in the year or now to make sure that the rodents are removed from your attic space. Sometimes we have to get pest control people involved when it's pretty crazy. And,
yeah,
you know, I've been in houses where a hazmat team is needed because it's toxic in the attic, and that's not fun to deal with either. But, you know, you do what you got to do, and you can get it all vacuumed out, get it all treated and sealed up, and usually never have to worry about it again.
Yeah, it's a process. Wow. We were talking about heated or insulated and non-insulated garages, and I'm looking at a text. A gentleman says, my wife wants to get the garage heated, but we don't spend a lot of time out there other than just getting in and out of our cars. So the husband's saying, no, I don't think we need heating the garage. But then the question is, given we're not going to heat the garage, we don't need to do any insulation. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. You know, I've seen it before where ice dams are caused on garages from the heat that the cars are giving off, going up and melting off the snow and causing an ice dam. So for me, if you can insulate a space, insulate it. And remember, like, you don't have to run your heat in your garage at 75 degrees. You know, when it's as cold as it is today out, having the thermostat set at 50 makes a giant difference. And it's not a crazy amount of energy for a well-insulated space to use up to put it at 50 degrees or 45 degrees. So, you know, that's going to be nicer than, you know, 0 degrees outside, and we'll do a good job of melting off all of your vehicles and anything else. And it's, again, one of those things that once you have a heated garage, you never want to not have a heated garage. So be careful. It'll wreck you. Once you do it, you're not going back.
Now, what tell us, we don't have a heated garage. And it's attached, and there's a common wall to the house. But what does Linda's do? What kind of insulation? Do you do the same thing? Can you foam? I'm thinking about, you know, I've got storage up there in the rafters, and then it's just bare wood. What do you foam that area up there? What is the process?
Yeah, you know, we can look at it a few different ways. If we can put a vapor barrier up there and just spray in cellulose, a lot of times that's enough to make sure that, you know, you're only heating the space to 50, 60 degrees. So if we can do it in a very cost-effective way, why not? Now, the best insulation you can always put in is the closed-cell spray foam. And sometimes in those areas where you have open rafters, you know, spray foaming the roof deck itself and creating it into what we call a hot roof means it's going to be a non-ventilated area. Then yeah, spray foam is the best option to use there. It's really the only option to use.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Got me thinking here. All right. Looking at
Coming
another text.
Next week, Denny.
Very good. Yes.
Just say
it's
word,
always
I'll
something.
The crew.
Hey, you've done such great work all these years. Why stop now?
Yeah. Can't believe I talked you into that earlier. I didn't know you didn't have spray foam in your garage. Yeah. Denny,
no, but I'm thinking, you know what?
Program. Let's heat that bad boy.
And while you're at it, while the Linda's crews are here, would you put drains in the floor of the garage so I can drain off all that water and walk, you know? Have you ever seen that in garages, drains?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I have one in my garage, and it needs a cleaning right now. It's one thing you start to understand when you have a heated space is the amount of sand and dirt that comes off our trucks when they melt off, too. It's enough to put it this way. My drain is 14 feet long, 8 inches wide, and 5 inches deep. And right now, I think I have 3 inches of sand in the bottom of that drain. So it's I have a little shovel work ahead of me to get this drain cleaned out.
But now, to me, that's a man cave, you know, with that kind of stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get some more texts answered here. Roof was recently replaced twice, texter says, both times very unsatisfactorily. Obviously not a Linda's job. First city inspector agreed the roof was replaced, but again, multiple problems were found. But the second city inspector signed off on the job. Now, what recourse does the homeowner have? Thank you for any suggestions.
You know, I'd have to look at the exact problem, but the recourse is not going to be with the city. It's going to be with your contractor. Now, if the city did sign off on something pretty egregious, their liability isn't there. It's with the contractor. So I would go back to your original contractor and figure out what is the problem. If there's anything I can do to help on the specific problems on what's going on there, let us know. You can always reach out to us, or my email is andy@lindisco.com. And we'll gladly take a look at it, what the problems are, and go from there. But I don't believe the city has, if you're asking, is the city liable because they signed off on it? No. It's the person you need to go back to is the one that installed the roofing.
I'll tell you what, we're getting a series of from different folks about roof raking. Let's do this. Let's take a break here. And I'll pose those questions. We'll get those text questions to you, Andy, in just a moment or so. 651-461-9226. That's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number. So if you have a home improvement question, call it in or text it in at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Home Improvement Show presented by Lindis Construction. Andy Lindis is answering those questions. Andy, before we get to more texts, I wanted to always like to ask you about any special deals. Here we are, the month of December, this being the 13th day of December. What kind of deals can be had this month? It's a great time of year to plan ahead, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a free heat map analysis, so if you want us to take a look at all of your insulation, ventilation, what's going on in your attic, all of those services are free. We'll sit down with you for anywhere from a half hour to 3 hours and go over your exact problems, what's happening in your attic, what your R values are, and then show you all the technology we use to come up with what's going on up there. And we have 75% off labor on the installation of Infinity Windows by Marvin. That's about as good a deal as you're going to get during the year, and I'm telling you, Denny, the doors and windows and insulation calls we got this week we're breaking records for the month of December. That's for sure. It's this cold snap has made the phones ring, and didn't realize. I think a couple of mild winters gave us a little false sense of what's going on in a lot of our houses, and this one is hitting us right in the face.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And those are such great products. You talk about Marvin. Great quality products, and I know Lindis only puts in stuff that's good quality, and it lasts. Yeah, I would imagine so. If you have any project in mind, and too, Andy, if the crews, I know we've got a lot of snow in some areas, but if you want a deck installed next year, you can still have Lindis come out, right?
Absolutely. Yep, we're talking to people pretty much daily about springtime decks. So if you're looking at getting a deck next year, I think right now is as good a time as any to have those conversations.
Let me pose a couple. I'm looking at three different text messages about roof raking. First one, is it too soon to get out the roof rake? Secondly, for roof raking, how far up from the edge of the roof should I try to reach? Let's tackle those two first.
Yeah, you know, as far up as you can reach safely, at least 3 feet past the interior wall is a good rule of thumb. You know, there's a bunch of different roof rakes out there. I know people that have had good luck with the avalanche roof rake. There's different telescoping roof rakes out there. One that I haven't tried yet that I'm going to take a look at is called the Snow Joe. And, you know, the nice part is I know in my research this week, there's a good supply at most Ace Hardwares and Acme Tools for those types of snow rakes. So if you want to go and see a snow rake and take a look at a snow rake or buy a snow rake, now's the time. And it's never too early to use a snow rake. I know it might feel that way because we haven't had to deal with this at this point in December for a couple of years. But if there's snow on your roof that could cause an ice dam, the faster you remove it, the better off you're going to be. And if you know it's going to be an issue, just keep up with it. And, you know, I know it's, you don't want to have to shovel your roof every time it snows or rake your roof every time it snows. But if you know that your house has a tendency to go to ice dams and you're not addressing it with insulation and ventilation, then you need to be consistent in removing that snow. Once it sits on there and turns to ice, it's way harder to remove.
I have a roof rake, but I haven't used it in so many years since I had the old roof before Lindis put on the new one several years ago. I was concerned, this is not the best roof rake either. I would be concerned right now in my case, to start scraping off some of those good shingles, at least the granite.
Yeah, you know, that's the nice part about the avalanche product or a lot of those products now, they don't let the blade come in contact with the shingles. There's rollers or something else involved. So if you do have a snow rake that, you know, was handed down from your dad or your mom to you, then you might want to look at spending the $100 and getting a new one, because the new ones are designed to it's not a guarantee you're not going to wreck your roofing. You still have to be careful, but they're made in a way that is a little bit easier on roofing than your average snow rake. And, you know, we get up there with shovels all the time, but to remove snow. And, you know, I've been on roofs where, you know, like if you got an addition or something put on there, or you're like a 5 foot drift next to a sidewall. So we've broken our fair share of shovels up on roofs trying to do it, but we really only source one particular plastic shovel that we know we don't go up there with metal anything. And we're very, very careful with the shingles, because this spring, Denny, there'll be dozens of roofs that get repaired by us because mm-hmm. of snow removal problems. That's why I said, again, just using a snow rake you're ahead of a lot of people. Again, just stay away from the chisels, the axes, the hammer handles, or the back of a hammer, whatever. That's the stuff that really causes problems. Never beat on an ice dam to remove it. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. Good morning, Texter says. Our first year with Lindus LeafGuard gutters for winter. The question is, can we still use a roof rake to take the snow off? They're referring to the LeafGuard. That shouldn't make
absolutely.
Any difference. Yeah.
No, it's one of the big positives for LeafGuard. You know, with an ordinary open gutter, if you're raking your roof off, you're raking all of that snow into the gutters. You're essentially filling the gutters completely when you're raking the snow off. So with LeafGuard, you're able to rake it and pull that snow right over the top of the gutters. And it really does make an easier task at hand when you have LeafGuard and you have to rake your roof.
I know you don't have a crystal ball to answer this one, but let me just read this anyway. We re-insulated the attic, had a new roof put on since last winter. We used to use a roof rake to take off snow to try to prevent ice dams. Well, so far, no ice dams are forming. Should we just leave the snow as it is this year, or should we roof rake even though there are no ice dams?
You know, in a perfect world, you don't need to roof rake. Like, if it's really well insulated, the roof is done the proper way, it's ventilated the proper way, you really shouldn't have ice dams happening. Now, your normal freeze-thaw cycle, it gets nice outside and the snow starts to melt off, and that's okay. It shouldn't cause any problems then. So, in a perfect world, you don't need a roof rake. Like, a house done the right way, you won't need a roof rake. Tell you this much, Denny. I don't have a roof rake. I don't own a roof rake. I've never raked my roof. But I have spray foam insulation and a GAF roof installed the proper way with the proper ventilation. So I really don't worry about ice dams. And my house was built in, 1903.
You and I were talking about those heat mats, and I'm looking at a texter that said they have had heat mats for stairs and walkway for several years, not sure which type, but they love them. The danger of falling from ice is now gone, they say. So we're anxious to get report from you on your test when you get them. Another text. I know we're a couple of minutes to go before we're out of the time here. Three separate windows on a west-facing side of the home. Definitely my humidity level is set too high currently with ice and moisture on each window. However, one of the windows has moisture that covers a lot more, and in cold days like today, most of the window. Is that a glass problem or maybe inadequate insulation around that window?
Could be both. But chances are it's more of a glass problem than anything. And one thing that people have to keep in mind is, too, if your windows aren't locked, they're not sealed as good as they possibly can be. Most of the locking mechanisms on windows and doors actually compress the bulb seals and any type of weather stripping that is in those units. So if you make sure all your windows and doors are locked, they're going to be much more energy efficient typically. So take a look at that. Make sure cold air isn't getting through there. But if your windows are really frosting up, and you have your humidity in check, then chances are it's a bad glass pack and should be addressed.
I know we just have like a minute or so to go, a couple of minutes maybe. Just a comment on heated garages. Texas says, I have a garage under a garage with spancrete. I insulated both garages and insulated a furnace in the downstairs garage. I set this stat at around 60. And it heats the spancrete to about 50. Works great, except some water will collect. That comes from Dave from Plymouth. So just a comment. Let's see. I'm trying to. We've got more than we even have time for. Could ridding the snow at the edges of the roof cause ice dams?
The snow at the edge of the roof typically doesn't cause ice dams. That's why you're removing it 3 feet past the interior wall. A lot of times people assume that because that's where the ice dam is. But what's happening is the heat is melting the snow and it's getting to the outside wall where there is no heat coming up. And that's when it starts to freeze. So you think that the overhang is the problem. The problem is happening farther up the roof. So that's where the melt is happening from. That's why I always want to get past 3 to 6 feet past the interior wall. If you can get that snow removed, you're going to be, and what I would do is try to remove as far up the roof as you can reach. And if that requires getting a ladder out, just be really careful. And if you're not comfortable doing it, I'm telling you, get a professional involved, because, you know, I hear way too many stories in our line of work, Danny, where people have injuries or falls around the house.
Oh, yeah.
And just something you want to be aware of. And this time of year, it's as dangerous as it gets to get on a ladder.
Don't do that. Andy, thanks so much. We have to run. Let's do this again next Saturday.
Sounds great, Danny. Have a great day. Stay warm.
And you too, Andy Lindis. Yeah, you want to get in touch with Lindis. Easiest number to remember, 844-9-LINDIS, 844-9-LINDIS. Danny Long, thanking you for your company this Saturday. Always like to thank producer Ryan Perpich. Always another great job. We'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, look for mostly sunny skies near zero today. Stay warm.